when it came through, of course, the skies got yellow just like it did before, and we were watching from outside and listening to the radio because our lights were, and so it lightened, and you saw the twister up, one of the twisters up in the air, and I figured a few minutes ago that it hit Newbern.
It was desperately in need of something, because it took a lot. It's taken my job, it's taken my friends, it's taken people that I've known for 30 years.
Wind 10 miles per hour.
Tornado Witness Radio. Stories of nature's most feared storm. May 22, 2008. Weld County, Colorado tornado. Save lives first, then take cover.
Big, huge, tall one like you see in the shows. It's just kind of a short, squatty one. It was just the clouds was almost on the ground. But you could see the clouds going. They were like fingers, like, just fingers of clouds flying around. And I go, shoot, this is a tornado. And I called 911 and told them where it was, and it was heading to my place. And I ran to the truck to got my dog in there, and I knew I couldn't get the cats. And I live at a deactivated missile site, so the place is meant to survive at the 500-mile-an-hour winds. So I was going to go down there, and then I remembered I had a camper outside because it's also a campground. And I drove out there and yelled at him to follow me, and it was getting hit by softball-sized hail, cracking the windshields. And he kind of nodded and screamed that he was, and I made a right turn and drove to the restrooms no more than 100 feet away, and I got out, and my dog, she got separated from me, and I went and crawled in about 20 feet into the restrooms. They're concrete cinder block. And after it was over, I went out and saw him, and he had been killed by the tornado. He kind of went left a little bit, and it caught up. He had a little RV, kind of a conline, and it ripped the top off of it, pulled the axle about 100 feet back, and bent him over and killed him on the spot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and then there's two other guys there. They hunkered down in their vehicles, and they were able to survive. And my dog, she broke her back and her leg, and had to take her down to the vet, and they had to put her to sleep.
Oh my gosh, that was KC, your bearded collie.
Yeah, and then my two cats too.
Did you find your cats?
No. The house is completely gone. There's a concrete slab with a water coming off the out of the spigot off the ground, and that's all there is.
Oh my goodness.
Prior to this, I belonged to a group called Kokoraws out of Fort Collins, Colorado. And I think the guy's Nolan Ryan or something like Nolan. And I was sending them instant reports of the hail that was coming down. And so I never finished my report to him about the tornado.
Oh, and what is that group again?
It's called Kokoraws out of Fort Collins. They have individual, just regular people like me have rain gauges, hail pads. We measure snow, moisture count. And he's all over the U.S. He started in Fort Collins.
Oh, wow. So you have a bit of a weather background.
Yeah. We do our thing. I've been doing this for, I don't know, 5-6 years. And so maybe longer. I can't remember. And so I've been doing this weather report and just, you know, we get snow, we melt the snow, tell them how much, we have 4-inch rain gauges, so we can give them pretty accuracy on how much snow fell in the gauge and how much landed on the ground and the water content and all that.
Now, you're in Weld County, right?
Yeah, I'm about 8 miles west of Greeley.
Okay. I believe Weld County has the most tornadoes of any county in the United States.
Yeah, but it's a huge, huge county.
Mm.
And so a lot of them happen out on the plains, out on the Pawnee Buttes, where there's nothing out there but a rancher every 50 miles and cows. So a lot of times there's nobody even around them.
Oh, okay.
But are this one,
and they're not very strong tornadoes, are they?
No, a year ago, almost to the date, we had one that landed in, I think it was Holly, Colorado, or Holyoke, Colorado, and killed one person there. And this one came through and killed one person at my campground.
Okay. Now, take me back to that day when this happened. This was yesterday. You were at home, and, you know, you saw this tornado coming. Rather than taking shelter, you took off towards your campground to try to take care and save some of the people there.
Yeah, I spent most of my life in the military. I've been in Vietnam 2 years in Iraq, and I've never thought of just myself. I've been trained to think of others, and that's the way I am. And my wife said if I would have went down to the silo, I would have chewed myself out for not going out and trying to help them. So, you know, it's nothing hero. It's just the way I do things. And I was just trying to help him. And he was a veteran. He was about 52. And he was living in his RV. And I let him stay at the campground a couple of days a week. And he'd come back and forth. And he was hoping to have his RV fixed up and going down south somewhere to his family. And he had a little Chihuahua kind of dog he called Tatanka, like that buffalo thing.
Mm.
And I couldn't find Tatanka, and then today I went out and I was talking with some guys, and they said, yeah, they found him. One of the guys has the dog.
So oh, my goodness.
The trailer was ripped apart, you know, and the dog survived.
Wow. Who's taking care of him now, Tatanka?
Somebody in the county, some county employee found him, and he took him home.
Oh, wow.
You know, mine died, and then the dairy at the top of the hill, a half mile away, you know, they're a nice little dog. He broke his back, and they had to put him down, and then they had 500 head of cattle and probably lost quite a few.
So oh, jeez.
Cattle, and it destroyed the houses on the hill and then went down to Windsor. That was north of me, and went through Windsor and tore up that place pretty bad.
Yeah, they were hit pretty hard.
Yeah, well, they figured by just looking at it, it looked like it started its supercell or whatever they call it, just when it was at the dairy above me. So I got hit at the beginning of its greatness.
And how was this tornado different than others you may have seen or known about?
They were little. This is my third tornado. I've seen one that went by me and then turned and came toward the building I was working in and went overhead, and that just, you know, tore up some buildings a little, and, you know, that looked like a regular, you know, column one that you see. And then there were about 4 years ago, there was another one about 6 miles west of me that went through and did a little damage. But those are just little ones, you know. This one, I guess they figured it was like a half mile or better wide. And it was, and I don't remember, I'm sorry, I didn't hear any doggone choo-choo train. I mean, the wind was blowing, hail was hitting me, branches, roofs, shingles, everything. And I didn't have time to think of, well, this sounds like a choo-choo train. So.
You know, you're not the only one to say that about this tornado.
Oh, his mother said it's the same thing. Or
it's unbelievable. Yeah, you always hear that it was a train or a jet, and several people said that wasn't the case with this tornado.
No, there wasn't. It just came, and I had 40-year-old cottonwood trees that are 40, 50 feet high or better, and I don't have any cottonwood trees that are no more than 15 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah, so all these old uprooted cottonwood trees destroyed. It's a deactivated missile site. I have a roof that weighs over 660 tons.
Wow.
They would open it to raise the missile. The wind moved that roof about 2 inches.
No way.
It slid it. That roof hadn't moved. It was deactivated in 65. So that roof hadn't moved since 65.
Wow.
So you know it's rained and rust and everything in there, and it moved that roof 2 inches.
My
that
goodness.
Was just the corner of the tornado that hit us.
That's not even a direct hit.
No, because you could see some of the trees farther out that didn't survive, that survived. And, you know, I mean, I lost a chain link fence. I had 7 foot tall chain link fence and 100 feet sections are gone. And
wow.
Blown over. And so, yeah. And then I had huge power poles out there, over 200 plus feet steel power poles, and knocked over about a dozen of those and then took out all the wooden power poles.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were just on the fringe, and it moved that steel roof.
Some of the folks nearby you in the next town over, it might have been Windsor.
Yeah, it was Windsor.
They had this feeling of their ears getting sucked off because of the pressure.
No, I didn't get that. That's why I think I was on the edge of it.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, no, I didn't. All I was getting hit was by hail. My windshield was cracked. You know, I was getting beat on the back, the legs. I crawled about 20, 30 feet, crawled, ran, whatever the heck you call it, and got inside this restroom that was there, and it was concrete and cinder block. And half of the roof and the women's side went off, and the men's side stayed, and that was the side I was in.
Wow. And you were at home. How far is your home from the missile silo campground?
I live on site.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you able to get any other people out there? Were you able to rescue anybody else from the trailers? Well,
there were two other guys that were just in their cars, and they hunkered down, and it didn't do anything to their cars. So their windows were destroyed. But they came out with a few scratches on their face and hands and arms, and that was it. Nothing life-threatening.
And then the gentleman that you tried to save, he drove with you for a little bit, but then
but what I figured is, when I saw him, I made an immediate right, and I was driving away from the tornado to the restrooms that was about 100 feet away. There was a tree in the way, so I figured he went to the left to go around the tree and then come in. And so when he went to the left, and being he had this high volume vehicle, you know, I mean, it was a small RV, but still, you know, there's no weight to it, and it probably, and the wind caught it and just ripped it to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he got the side bit, and I mean, there was the wind, there was the branches, I mean, everything was flying, and he got caught on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit deeper in than I was. So about 100 feet saved me from him. Basically making a right turn saved me, where if he would have made a right turn, he would have been alive.
Oh, wow. And those other two in the cars, they were very lucky.
Yeah. Their cars, all the windows are gone, beat up by the hail. But, we came out. We were, you know, all of us pretty lucky. I had a few bruises. I mean, other than that, nothing major.
What was that day like in the morning and leading up to the tornado?
The morning was really heavy moisture air. I mean, the wind was blowing, so it wasn't fog, but it was just real heavy moisture. You went outside and you could feel the moisture in the air, and it wasn't raining. And then it cleared up, and then I was working in the house, and all of a sudden I heard it banging, and I went outside, and the wife called me, and that's when I noticed it. So,
wow. Yeah,
it was a nice day. It was a nice day.
Mm-hmm. That's just amazing how different this tornado was. I mean, you've been through a few of them.
Yeah. And the other two were just like standard tornadoes, if you can call them standard, you know. They had the big column. You know, they moved along the ground real quick. They made like sharp left or right turns, whatever the heck they do. And they picked up and went over and dropped down. And yeah, it was something. This one, you know, sorry, all the movies show them one way, and this one wasn't like the movies.
All right.
It was just short. I thought it was short and squatty. If I didn't see the clouds going round and round, I would have missed it completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I could only see the fringe of the clouds. I couldn't see the center was just so much. They were just kind of all one thing. But you could see the shins. You know, it was like cotton candy flying around in those drums. That's
wow.
How it looked.
There's several other reports that people saw no funnel. They heard nothing. It was just there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. If I hadn't gone outside when my wife called, I probably would have been in the house.
Wow.
You know, because the hail would have been hitting and I probably wouldn't have went out. So, yeah, it was, no, there was no, you know, there's probably different types and this happened to be one of those different types.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do going forward? You've lost your house, I believe.
Yeah. It's in about smaller than 4x8 sheets.
Oh.
And I just refinished the kitchen, bought new appliances. So, we county guys are helping me. I got people from church. I have Boy Scout troops that camped out there. I don't know. I must have got hundreds of calls these last couple of days. And people are offering help. And I don't know how to take that because I always work by myself. And it's hard accepting things from people. But, you know, I'm starting to get to that point where I say, yeah, I can't do it myself. And, I have people that I hadn't talked to in years are calling me saying, we heard somebody died out at the missile site. Was it you? And I'm still here. So, yes, it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, we found some information. Missileer magazine had a story on you and your museum that you have in the missile silo.
Yeah. It's still there. It wasn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to have an open house tomorrow. You know, Memorial Labor Day weekends, they have big open houses and 400 to 500 people come through there and look at it and see it and, you know, enjoy it. And we were going to have a barbecue for the kids and stuff, but it's going to be a few months before I do another tour, I think.
Oh, boy.
But I told my boss, I says, I live on site and I work there for the county. That's a county park. And I told him, I says, I want to get this place cleaned up. I want to stay here. I don't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And my wife says, yeah, we're going to stay here. So.
Well, you've just been through quite an event. How are you feeling?
Oh, shoot. Got up at 4 this morning. Couldn't go back to sleep, even though the doc gave me some happy pills. And, you know, so it's winding down. It's going to take me a few days, you know. I got a group coming out tomorrow from the church, from Boy Scouts, from Denver, and we're all going to tear into it and get all the things. And we have somebody from church who's going to wash all our clothes, and, you know, and so we're going to do what we can, and we'll survive. We'll survive. It's just everybody has the problems, and we just happen to have it, so we're going to live through this.
Have you ever been anything through this before?
I've been in hurricanes, I've been in typhoons, and I've been in earthquakes. And so, yeah, this is the worst. The typhoon was pretty bad, but luckily I was on land when it hit, but it's still bad in the Middle East and, Vietnam. And, but yeah, this was, hello, look at me, here I am kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
You're really going to remember it, you know. Even though it didn't fit, you know, like you said, the scenario.
Wow.
We're going to do fine, and we're going to rebuild our house. We'll actually get another house there, hopefully, and be back to work. Well, I'll be back working come Monday, so, you know, for the county. And this time I'm just got people out helping me fix things. So, yeah, just go through it. And shoot, the only good thing is my TV broke and my wife says I can get a big screen now. So,
oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it just surprised me that little dog survived and, you know, the big guy didn't. But I'm glad the dog did. You need something.
And your dog was a collie, KC.
A border collie. Yeah, she
border
was
collie.
Like a sheepdog.
What was she like?
Bearded collie. She was happy-go-lucky. She was the friendliest dog. She's supposed to be a guard dog. She never barked at anybody. Everybody on the tour loved her. She just was frolic. She just loved you know, loves everybody. And we worked there all day together. And so she got to go with me all over the place, mowing, trimming trees, chasing rabbits, and never caught them. She was too slow. But she was a great dog. She really was. She was just a pound puppy, but you know, she was good. I liked her.
Yeah, it sounds like she was trying to take care of her owner.
Yeah. And the vets were good. They took care of her till the end.
Yeah, we're sorry about that, about KC and your cats.
Yeah. Well, everybody's in a better place, so the gentleman's probably up there with the dog and the kitty cats right now.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't have Tatanka right now. He's going to have to deal with my Casey, and he likes Casey. So.
You're very involved in your missile silo. Could you give us a little bit more info about that?
It's a deactivated Atlas E coffin site. It wasn't a silo like you see in the movies. The missile laid flat, and the roof slid off, and then the missile was raised straight up. And it was active from 60 to 65, and it had a 9-man crew, 5 missileers and 4 guards, and it took about 15 minutes to fire it. And it cost $10 million to build. So, and the storm came through, and like I said, it moved that cover and bent some of the air vents, but I didn't lose any other piece of equipment out there that was attached to it.
What's your museum like?
I have a lot of photos inside of it. I have a civil defense display showing medical equipment and radiac meters and information about how to protect yourself from fallout, and have a models in there and a mock-up of the missile and information about how it was fired, where the crew was at. You know, and the people get to see, you know, the blast pit where the flames went. They get to go down the tunnel to the crew's command area, generator area. So they get to see the vastness underneath. There's 19,000 square feet underneath. They see almost all of it.
Wow, 19,000 square feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is huge.
And the door that opens to let the missile so you can drive it in and out when you're bringing it in or leaving, it weighs 47 tons, and it wasn't affected, being it was closed at the time. Hopefully we'll learn from these strange, non-noisy, non-train-sounding hurricanes, huh? Or tornadoes.